Thank you so much to the Shells. What wonderful, beautiful music and a wonderful message. And in fact, that is the message this morning. We're going to be talking about being whole, made whole, and it comes only from His touch. Well, welcome back. I hope that you have had a wonderful break, and I've been away too. I've been traveling all last week, was out on the West Coast, and so I'm glad to be home and glad to be here with you today. I don't know how many of you are following through in our Oswald Chambers devotions, but I pray that you are. I take a book with me and I read them, and each day I was thinking, oh, I'd love to be on campus to be talking with some folks about today's devotional, because so many of them during this past week particularly, maybe it's because I was gone, maybe it's because I was on the West Coast, which has a total different environment and culture, but something each day really blessed me in the devotional. And even this morning as I was reading today's devotional, two lines that I want to lift out of here. Jesus said, in effect, don't rejoice in successful service. The great secret of joy is that you have the right relationship with me. And we're going to be talking about our relationship with Jesus. And then the devotional goes on to say that the one great challenge to us is, do I know my risen Lord? I loved walking in this morning and seeing the crosses and the red notes that are attached there. I wasn't here last week, but as I've inquired about the crosses, I know that you had a wonderful chapel service last week in which you nailed your own thoughts and needs to the cross. And so the reminder this morning in our devotional, do I know my risen Lord? Do I know the power of His indwelling Spirit? So I pray that you are reading them. Several weeks ago, the Lord placed on my heart the topic of today's message. As I was thinking ahead to chapel, I was actually driving down the road and just having a conversation with the Lord, and He brought this particular, specific message to my heart and mind. And as I thought about it, I realized that I'm not sure that I've ever heard a message specifically on today's topic. And yet it is a topic that impacts us actually on a daily basis. It has to do with memories. Now, many memories are wonderful. I have my own, and you have yours. And, of course, the older we get, the more memories we have. And even last week, as I was traveling in California and meeting with the Asbury alumni and friends, I heard wonderful stories from those people sharing about their times at Asbury, great joy and great fond memories. And so we do carry memories, and many of them are very wonderful memories. They bring smiles to our faces, and they are an important part, actually, of our identity. But yet there are other memories that are painful, that may be tender, that are agonizing and perhaps even traumatic. And so I want us to think about those memories that are painful and are not the pleasant memories. I began thinking about painful memories or regrets several months ago after watching The Kite Runner. How many of you have read the book or seen the movie, Kite Runner? Several, but not many. Well, for me, it was a very compelling movie. One of the most gripping themes for me in the movie is that the kite runner did not have the courage to defend his friend. He lied. He was disloyal. He betrayed those who cared very deeply for him. And so after the movie, and even for the next several days, I found myself thinking back about this movie and wondering if at some point he would have become fixated on his past, whether his memories would haunt him. For those of you that have read the book or seen the movie, you know the answer. For those who have not, I will leave it to you to discover. But we all have those stories of our own, and we have stories that even others have expressed that involve sorrowful memories, even those stories from Scripture. In fact, we can recall the story of Peter. Peter had walked with Jesus, he loved Jesus, he was taught by Jesus, he was a great follower of his, and at one point Jesus even said to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Jesus, I love you." And Jesus asked again, "Peter, do you love me?" And three times Peter said, "Yes, Jesus, I love you." And Jesus knew that Peter loved him. But yet, Jesus later warned Peter. He said, "You will deny me." And Peter said, "Never, Jesus, will I deny you. I will die first before I will deny you." And you know the story. It happens to be recorded in all four of the Gospels. Peter did deny Jesus. And when we read about Peter's denial of Jesus, then the memory was very painful and sorrowful for him. He was remorseful. In fact, Scripture says that Peter went out and wept because of his memory. We know that Jesus forgave Peter for that. I believe that he was healed of the memory of his human failure, because we know that later Jesus chose to build the church on Peter. So all of us carry memories, but for many, the painful ones sometimes, or perhaps even often, begin to take over, and we cannot seem to break free of those painful memories. They will begin to have power over our thoughts, and this wasn't lost on Christ. He knew this would be our human need and our human condition. He knew this would be a struggle. And so therefore, his plan of redemption, his plan for going to the cross, includes the opportunity for us to be emotionally whole. He touched me and he made me whole, as Mark and Cheryl sang. Let's take a look at Isaiah 53, our scripture text for today. In Isaiah 53:5, we read that he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brings us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. In other words, this is really a threefold atonement. Jesus died for our sins, but he also died for our peace. He died that he might touch us in all of our points of need, our sin, but also our mind, our body, and our spirit. And we don't often talk about this threefold atonement. We come to the cross, we repent, and Jesus forgives our sins, and he's faithful to do that. But many times, even Christians are not walking in victory, and even Christians are not walking in peace. We know that he's forgiven us, and so we know that we've been forgiven. What is it that keeps us from walking in victory or in peace? Now, the cross, and as is described in Isaiah 53, where he wants to touch, not only take upon himself our sins, but to take upon him our griefs and our sorrows. We refer to this as the exchanged life. Jesus took our griefs, our sorrows, and our sins, and he gave us his righteousness and healing and victory over our mental and physical struggles. Now, there may be some here today that have never invited Christ into the center of your painful memories. You've never asked him to bring healing to those memories. I know in my own experience, in my faith with the Lord and my journey with the Lord, I'm one of those that went back to the altar time after time and just feeling like, you know, there's something that maybe God hasn't really forgiven me. And so one day in my praying to the Lord, and I was once again asking for forgiveness, and Jesus said, "What are you asking forgiveness for? I don't know what you're talking about." He had truly forgiven and forgotten and removed as far as the east is from the west and plunged those sins to the depth of the sea. But there was something still unsettled within me. And so I discovered that I really need to bring Jesus not only into the center of my sin, but into the center of my pain, into the center of my painful memories. Our memories come from three primary sources. First, they can come from decisions that we've made, from our own choices, from making bad choices sometimes. We make good decisions and bad, and those poor choices that we have made can bring and leave memories with us. Or we could also have painful memories that come from actions directed to us by others, things that others have done to us that we had no control over. Or sometimes our painful memories even come from our observations, just happen to be a bystander, observing something that's happening. In fact, this past week before I went to the West Coast, I was in Indianapolis, and I was walking down the street from one event to the other, and I saw a man sitting on the sidewalk with his sign saying, hungry, need food, a homeless man that was on the sidewalk. And so I happened to pass him up at that point, and I came back later and was walking down another street, and here was this man with a woman pushed up against the side of the building, and he was yelling at her, very abusive, and it was a difficult situation, and I just immediately stopped and looked at them, and then I was kind of prompted, like, you don't need to get in the middle of this. You probably can't solve their issue. But I've found myself praying for them for the rest of the day, because the image of this man that was being abusive to the woman lingered with me. And so it was a point in which I was able to pray for them, and then the Lord was able to remove the painful part of that memory. But we have painful memories all the time. And so I want us to look at each of these three sources or primary ways in which decisions may be painful or memories may be painful. First, if we look at the memories of our own, God's forgiven us. We've forgiven others if we've needed to. But there are those lingering consequences of our decisions. Some of them might be character related, issues relating to dishonesty, lying, cheating, stealing. And so we have the memory of what happened. The memories could be broken relationships that we've been largely responsible for, perhaps with parents, family members, a boyfriend, a girlfriend. Or perhaps our memory comes from immoral or sexual activity and consequences associated with those poor choices. And it's true that we cannot erase the consequences of our choices, but He can and does and will and wants to bring healing to our memories by walking with us, by pouring His love out over us. We have to ask the Holy Spirit to come, to touch us in our place of need, and to reveal Himself to us. I have a group of five young women that I have been mentoring, discipling for a number of years. In fact, they are my spiritual children, and we've been meeting in retreat together. I meet with them once a year, and I had talked to them actually several years ago about their thought life and allowing the Lord to really sanctify their thought life and to help them in their thought life. And one of the young girls that was there said, well, I want to tell you a story of how I did that. And so she told us about going to her 10-year college reunion. And she dreaded going because she had, in her college days, had been quite immoral and made bad choices. But she felt because of what God had done in her life, she really needed to go and let people there see that she is different. And so she said one of the first persons that came up to her was a fella that she had had a short-term relationship with, and he came up to her and immediately started trying to recall, oh, we had some good times together, didn't we? And she said, I am a new creature. I'm a new creature in Christ. And so he came back in and he said, yeah, but we had I'm a new creature in Christ. And she refused to let him go there. He was trying to take her back in her memory to their being together, and she was literally putting on the armor of God and saying, I am a new creature in Christ. That was the old person. I am a new person. Of course, that's what Paul prayed in 2 Corinthians. And so when we allow him to touch us, it's not that she had forgotten that. It's not that she was ignoring the fact that it happened, but she's saying, I am a new creature. And so that totally changed her memory and the way that she allowed that memory to not be painful for her. There are other kinds of things, the actions of others directed to us. Many of us have experienced rejection. We've experienced abuse in some form, verbal abuse, physical abuse, ridicule, criticism, perhaps broken relationships, others that have walked out of your life, those that you trusted. And so in those situations where others have done things to us over which we had no control, we must ask the Holy Spirit to come to touch us in that place of pain, reveal Himself to us. And then those actions that we observe, of which I've already given an example, but many of you, as I, have walked with those that we care very deeply about through illness, even death. And the journey through physical suffering can be unbearable unless we allow the Lord to carry the burden for us. Many of us have observed the poverty and neglect of children. Many of us have witnessed injury, accidents, and images which seem to be written indelibly upon our minds. And some of you may have come from family experiences where, from all outward appearance, you seem to have it all together, but inwardly, there may have been great dysfunction. Ask the Holy Spirit to come to touch you in that place of pain, to reveal Himself to you. Ask the Holy Spirit to pray through you, to even call upon the prayers of Jesus. The scripture tells us that the Holy Spirit prays through us, and we know that Jesus ever lives to pray for us and to intercede for us. He's at the right hand of God the Father Almighty right now. Ask Jesus to pray for you. Have you done that? I encourage you to do that. Many times I'll say, "Oh, Jesus, you've got to pray for me. Go to the Father for me. Intercede for me." Ask the Lord to bring healing to the memory. Freedom from guilt and pain means that these memories must be healed. Notice I have not at any point said be ignored nor be forgotten. We acknowledge them. In fact, we hit them straight on. We confront them, but then we give them over to Jesus. We have spiritual weapons that allow us to do that. We can call upon the name of Jesus. We can call upon the blood of Jesus. We can read the word of Jesus, his scripture, which is a spiritual weapon for us. And he will lift us up out of the pit of remorse, of guilt, and of pain. Another scripture I would like for us to take a quick look at is in Zechariah. And this so often, I think, describes us as Christians who are godly people. We're doing all that we can to walk obediently with Christ, but yet there is still this lingering something that has not been resolved. And we see in Zechariah 3, Zechariah is reading about or talking about a vision that he has of Joshua. Joshua's a godly man. He was the high priest. And so Zechariah has a vision of Joshua, the high priest, who's standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan is standing at the right hand to accuse him. And so, in other words, we can have Jesus, we can be saved, he's forgiven us. And the angel of the Lord or God himself is standing beside us, but the accuser is there to try to pull us away or to try to discourage us or to try to steal our joy, to try to steal our victory. And that's what the prophet sees in the vision of Joshua standing with the angel of the Lord on one side, but Satan was standing on his right hand to accuse him. So the Lord says to Satan, "The Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire?" In other words, he's saying, "Is not Joshua mine? Joshua belongs to me." Now, Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel. And the angel said to those who were standing before him, "Take off his filthy clothes." And then he said to Joshua, "See, I've taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you." And the Lord said, "I will put a clean turban on his head." And so they did this, put a clean turban on his head, and they clothed him while the angel of the Lord stood by. And so what we must do, and this is a great image for us, is knowing that God is standing with us, but we also know that the enemy stands to accuse us, to oppress us, and so we must invite him to put these clean clothes on us, clean t-shirts and blue jeans or whatever might be our garments for this day, to know that God has to become bigger so that Satan can decrease. Healing is not just for our own benefit, but it is so that God can be glorified. And this is one of the reasons why I believe that the Lord impressed this message so deeply upon me to share with you today, because he has things he wants to do with you, through you, for you. And it will be hindered if we do not have victory and walk with wholeness. He will be hindered, and his purposes will not be able to be fulfilled. by giving life to unhealthy memories, then they can become larger than he is. Jesus standing on one side, encouraging us, wanting to walk along with us, but knowing that the enemy is there. And so we've got to not give life to the accuser, to that one that would want to steal our joy, not to give life to the unhealthy memories, so that the angel of the Lord, or the Lord standing with us, is larger than the pain of our memories. And I've made this statement before, but I will make it again from this pulpit, and that is what we have not given over to the Lord becomes the enemy's territory. And so we must give these painful memories over to the Lord. Now, it's important that you want to give these over to him. You must desire to be made whole. Frankly, unfortunately, some people enjoy living in their pain. Some people enjoy sympathy, enjoy having excuses. And so you have to want to be made whole, to be made whole in every way. I encourage you to ask the Lord to touch your mind, to bring thoughts, your thought life, captive, and to make it obedient to Christ. That's what Paul says in 2 Corinthians 10:5. He says that I ask the Lord to bring captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. You may want to record in your journal today. Let today be the day in which you draw a line in the sand and you say, today I'm giving over my painful memories, guilt, sorrow, and receive his healing in every way. We can actually train our mind. One of the things we often say today is, I'm not going there, about a certain topic. Well, I'm encouraging you to say this about your painful memories. Just say, I'm not going there. The instant that they may come to your mind, immediately lift up the name of Jesus. Immediately quote a scripture. Immediately go to prayer. Immediately sing a song. Do something that would help you to not let your mind go to that thought. Talk with Jesus as your friend throughout the day. And when you fail, and you may, as I have, give it to Jesus again. Get in an accountability group with those who will not allow you to be stuck in the pit of your sorrow. We often are in accountability groups of people that will sympathize with us and will listen and let us bemoan our circumstances. And I encourage you to get an accountability group with someone that will not allow you to remain in a pit and to be stuck there. Those who will point you to Jesus rather than allowing you to dwell on your past. Again, no, this is not denial. In fact, it is the opposite. It is acknowledging that we need to give this over to Jesus. And I know that some of you may be struggling with deep issues that would benefit from professional counsel. But I want to ask you a question, and I will close with this. To ask you a question, are you willing to let God do everything in you that has been made possible through the cross? Are you willing to allow God to appropriate the fullness of all that the cross means, to live victoriously? Are you willing to give over your guilt, your pain, your sorrow, and let the gift of peace be real? Let this gift of peace be real in your heart and life. Jesus said, come to me, all who are burdened. Come and ask, and I will give you rest. The altar is open. You may want to come and give Jesus today some of your painful memories, your sorrows, your grief. You may want to come for someone else that is struggling with difficult memories. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Shell if he would lead us in singing and to invite you to come to this altar. Today may be the day in which you really feel that today's the day that I want to give this over, to allow him to completely touch me and make me whole in all ways.